standing within a giant natural coliseum. The place had fallen silent, except for the click-clacks of blaster rifles being adjusted. Armed settlers crouched behind hovering repulsor craft. Any eyes that weren't on the gaps were on Orin. Orin shouted into the amplifier.
Come on out, Kenobi!
His voice echoed all around, but no response came. Watching from cover, Ulbrich looked back warily.
Don't like this.
Don't worry, Orin said, gesturing toward a group of settlers in the rear. Send up the smoke charges. The mortars were one of the fund's earlier investments, and they'd never had occasion to use them. But they were designed for exactly this, flushing out the opposition. A few parabolic shots up into the crags, and Ben would have nowhere to... Orin froze. The screech came again from the hills. A crate dragon call. Just like the settlers' call siren, only more natural sounding. Rising and trilling, the noise reached every listener in the would-be arena. Orin looked back at the others, a canny grin on his face.
Don't be fooled, folks! That's our trick!
Some of the settlers shifted nervously, but they all stayed in position. Orin walked back to his landspeeder and brought the loud hailer to his mouth.
You'd better cut that out, Kenobi, or you'll scare your friends.
He waved back to the settlers setting up the mortars. It was time. Then it happened. The Zeltron, Lili's husband, noticed it first.
Listen,
Waller Pace said.
Do you feel it?
Orin didn't have time for empathic Zeltrons and their feelings.
Stay focused, he said.
But now, Orin felt it too and heard it. A low rumble rising slowly to a crescendo. Pebbles on the ground began to roll. Dust rose.
Groundquake!
Vika yelled. Orin shook his head. No, that wasn't it. It was something else, thundering downward through the gaps from the Jundland wastes. And now he saw what it was.
Banthas!
One after another, the enormous beasts charged down the stone chute Ben had ridden his speeder bike up. And not just from there. Several broad pathways wound down from the mountains, and now they were filled too, disgorging banthas of all sizes, right at the settlers.
Stampede!
Ulbrich yelled, ducking under his hovering vehicle. The hairy mass coursed across the desert floor like water from a broken dam, sending settlers diving in all directions. The loud hailer fell from Orin's hand to the open cab of his landspeeder. He tried to use his vehicle for cover too, but a giant bantha struck it first, ramming the hovercraft's hood into his midsection. A heartbeat later, a second bantha struck the USV-5, sending both Orin and the vehicle spinning. All around, the scene repeated. The charging animals smashed into landspeeders and sent them careening like toys. Settlers dived and fell in desperation. In the rear, the beasts upset the mortars, resulting in smoke rounds shrieking over the vigilantes' heads. Two struck the wall of the rift with an ear-shattering clang, and in the next instant, smoke filled the air. Orin clung to his landspeeder until it bounced into a boulder, knocking him to the dust. Dazed and dizzy, he spent long moments lost in the smoke. Somewhere a blaster went off. A farmer screamed. Orin didn't move. In the fog, a voice came from nearby. It was Ben's.
Turn back now.
Orin blinked. Before, he had heard the words only in Jabe's voice, and then later when Mullen had said them. Hearing them now from Ben himself, he realized the message wasn't a demand. Instead, Ben's voice was calm and consoling, as if giving advice to a friend. Orin reached for his blaster, which was still secure in his holster, but there was nowhere to point it. Finally, as the yellowish smoke settled, he coughed and rubbed his eyes. The landspeeders had been thrown around like sabacc cards in the breeze. Some still hovered, their engines driving them futilely into the nearby walls. Others were upended or half on top of other vehicles. The settlers were in the dust, gasping for air and grasping for their fallen weapons. At least they were all moving, as far as Orin could see. Into this scene, three remaining creatures emerged from the uplands. A bantha calf trotted down, followed, improbably, by an Eope mother and her kid. The trio of laggards tromped heedlessly through the chaotic scene, following the herd into the open desert to the northwest. Orin found Mullen and Vika awkwardly getting to their feet. Mullen had taken a bantha horn to the side of his head. He was bleeding from his temple.
"Can you fight?" Orin asked.
Mullen grunted angrily. Orin took it as affirmative.
"Kenobi's playing games,"
he muttered. He turned, blaster in hand. But something else came screaming down from the stone fissure. A speeder bike and rider, sizzling down the pathway Kenobi had taken up into the mountains. Its sword in a straight line, one that would take it over the heads of the vigilantes and to the open desert beyond.
"Blast him! Blast him!"
Quick-witted vigilantes caught the vehicle in a crossfire as it zipped past. Several shots struck true, and the speeder bike flashed with fire, spiraling to the right. Its forward strut struck the ground hard. The vehicle and its passenger flipped end over end, finally smashing into an unoccupied repulsor craft. Orin rushed forward. Wreckage was everywhere. A body burned in the debris. Excitedly, Orin approached the rider's side and saw that it was, in fact, a burlap duffel. Half of the smoking bag had ripped open where it had been tied to the handlebars. Without thinking, Orin shoved his hand into the smoldering debris and found the fake rider's stuffing, a bundle of Tuscan head wrappings.
"It's from your wardrobe, Orin,"
Ben said. His voice echoed all around, louder than the crate call and certainly louder than the phantom whisper Orin had heard earlier.
"I brought it from your place."
Looking about in surprise, Orin threw the wrappings away. How Ben was saying it wasn't important. Remembering where he had dropped the loudhailer, Orin dashed toward his landspeeder, piled up against the rock. He skidded to a stop beside it and reached inside the vehicle, fishing for the amplifier's handle. Finding something, he lifted it and stared, mystified, at the Gaddurfi in his hand.
"That's also from your stash,"
Ben called from above. "He's using